Okay, this is Daisy, and I'm going to be reading my most impacting moment to
Desiree.
Okay. So I laid down in the gurney and grabbed my parents' hands. The nurse slowly rolled me to the blood-red line labeled "Do Not Pass." As we stopped, I let my parents' hands slip away. Saying goodbye was the last thing I wanted to do at the moment. 14 years old, I went through a traumatic experience of brain surgery. The experience made me think twice about the little things I take for granted. With more empathy for others around the world, I decided individuals such as myself take our family, shelter, running water, food, electricity, clothes, and our functions for granted. When the tumor was discovered, I had to get an fMRI, an MRI to find where my speech was. The fMRI took 2 hours of staying completely still while I laid in a long metallic tube that surrounded every inch of my body except for my feet. While the machine bellowed at me, "Eek, tap your finger on the button. Eek, think of two words that starts with K. Eek, flip the switch. After the fMRI was finally over, I waited one dragging week. Waited one dragging week to get my results, knowing that if it was on the right, I would have to have an awake surgery. I was walking home from school when I saw my mom sitting on the wet grass under our small ash trees. My mom came over and said, "Your speech is on the right side of your brain." I ran excitedly around the yard. She stopped me and said, "Your speech is on the same side as your tumor." I was confused. I thought this meant my speech was on the other side. I walked to my mom in tears and hugged her. She told me, "Your speech is towards the back, so it won't be a problem. You'll be okay." The surgery was still jeopardous, knowing that I could still lose my speech and memory. Knowing this was another battle, if my speech and memory were gone, I would have to start all over. 2 days after surgery, my dad wheeled me to the grand piano in the waiting room. There was a man on the left towards the wall. He looked up as if he was about to cry and had worry all over his face. My dad lifted me up and walked me to the piano. For a minute, I looked at the harmonious keys, thinking about what song I should play. I put my hands with IVs and band-aids all over them on the piano and my feet with blue sparkly slippers on the pedals. I slowly began to play Jessica's theme from The Man from Snowy River. My fingers waltzed all over the piano, making crescendos and diminuendos, playing as loud as fortissimo and as soft as pianissimo. When I finished, I looked up and both my parents were crying rivers. They told me how proud they were of me and how it was a miracle I could still play. The man from across the room came over in tears and told me it was beautiful. He also told me how his daughter was having surgery at the moment and how my music made him more confident that his daughter would come out of surgery all right. When I woke up from surgery, I had a tied fleece blanket that was blushing pink. Seeing this, I sensed that I was kept alive because I have a purpose and felt that I needed to give back to the world, so I decided I wanted to try quilting so the ones receiving the quilt would get the same feeling I did when I got my blanket. My grandma owns her own quilting business, so she was very happy when I asked if she could teach me how to quilt. My first quilt was a granny square made out of corduroy fabric. The quilt was midnight blue, flush pink, sapphire blue, diva pink, and amethyst purple. I pieced the quilt together with vertical lines of matching colors. Afterwards, I used my grandma's sewing machine and sewed the pieces together for hours. After I finished sewing the blocks together, I felt like someone was jabbing my lower back. I put the quilt on the 10-foot long arm machine and made up my own pattern. I made the long arm dance on the quilt, making little swirls. After I finished, I binded the quilt together for hours, watching Grey's Anatomy. Afterwards, I decided to donate the quilt to Primary Children's and continue to donate quilts to Quilts Beyond Borders, which is an organization that gives to children all over the world who need the warmth of a quilt. I felt proud of what I accomplished and fell in love with making quilts. Quilting made me realize how We have so much at our fingertips that could change a person's life. Before and after surgery, my family members were by my side at every minute. When I was in the hospital, my mom or my sister would always be lying right next to me, comforting me until I would fall back asleep. My dad would always wheel me around the hospital and take me outside so I could get my vitamin D. My brother would help me get up and go and get me whatever I needed at the moment. When I got home, my dog was always at my side. He was my support dog. I'd wake up on our ruby red velvet couch with him sleeping right next to me with his black ears tucked behind his little white paws. My extended family and friends would also come and see if I was doing well. They would give me little things like coloring books, colored pencils, books, etc. There were also friends and family members that never came to see me or texted me to see if I was doing well when I thought they would. During this time, I could catch sight of the friends and family members who really cared about me and realized how lucky I am to have a family that will do anything to help me through the hardest of times. Going through surgery changed my perspective of the world around me. I became more empathetic as I discovered there was much more going on around me than I thought. I also identified that many of us take things for granted, such as electricity, running water, shelter, food, family, clothes, and our bodily functions. Having surgery wasn't a virtual matter, but I learned that nobody in a story is evil. It's the place that they're put in that changes them and makes them who they are.
Dang, I've had 10 brain surgeries and I've never would ever be able to play the piano right after surgery.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to end that podcast there. So, bye. So I wanted to make another podcast about our conversation after I read my essay. It was one of our first times talking and comparing our surgeries and everything, and so we didn't really want to record it and make it all awkward and everything, because there was like a lot of silence involved in it and everything. We didn't really know what to compare and talk about, but we talked about how we made a lot of friends and everything, but we felt like those friends were kind of taking us for granted because they wanted to look more sympathetic towards other people. She talked about her friend that she hadn't seen for 3 years or talked to for 3 years, just come and like asked to hang out with her and everything, and would post pictures about her and stuff like that, and how her aunts that she never met before came down from another state and surrounded her even though she'd never seen them before. And I had a friend of mine I hadn't seen for a long time since I was 8 that came and started posting about me and everything and posting about my surgery and stuff. And I felt like they're just trying to steal the light or something that everyone wants to know about my surgery and stuff, and how she wants to be the ones to tell them and get more popular and everything. And we also talked about how we stayed at the same hospital, how we shared the same surgeon, Dr. Bolo. And we kind of compare scars and everything, and how we had to fight through it. And by doing that, we became more mature and everything. And by doing that, we kind of lost a few friends too, because we realized what other friends were doing wasn't good. Like, a friend of mine was trying to get me to sneak out more and everything like that. And by becoming more responsible, I kind of realized that this wasn't okay. And I had to take a break from her for a long time. And she had to stop being friends with one of her best friends because she wanted to get her into doing some wrong things too. And we also talked about just her service dog and everything, and kind of compared her service dog to my support dog. And honestly, having a dog there for you is one of the best things to have after something really hard has happened, because they're not going to judge you by what happened. They don't really know what happened, but they can still sense that you're sad or something like that, and they want to be there for you. And we also talked about how our family members are there for us and everything, because I felt like something that supported me the most was my direct family and everything. And it was the same with her and stuff too. But thank you for listening. Bye.